There is a word from the Lord on today, and it shall come forth from the 13th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. We'll read in your hearing, praise God. Amen. Verses 1 through 15. 2 Chronicles, of course, this goes up through 18, 19, I don't know, 22nd verse of this 2 Chronicles 13, but we'll probably read about 15 of these verses. As always, we're reading according to the New American Standard Version, and it reads as follows. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah began the battle with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 chosen men, while Jeroboam drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 chosen men who were valiant warriors. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, and said, "Listen to me, Jeroboam and all Israel. Do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, son of David, rose up and rebelled against his master, and worthless men gathered about him, scoundrels, who proved too strong for Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when he was young and timid and could not hold his own against him. So now you intend to resist the kingdom of the Lord through the sons of David, being a great multitude and having with you the golden calves which Jeroboam made for gods for you. Have you not driven out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the peoples of other lands? Whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and 7 rams, even he may become a priest of what are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him, and the sons of Aaron are ministering to the Lord as priests, and the Levites attend to their work. And every morning and evening they burn to the Lord burnt offerings and fragrant incense. And the showbread is set on the clean table. And the golden lampstand with its lamps is ready to light every evening, for we keep the charge of the Lord our God. But you have forsaken him. Now behold, God is with us at our head, and his priests with the signal trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O sons of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you will not succeed." But Jeroboam had set an ambush to come from the rear, so that Israel was in front of Judah and the ambush was behind them. When Judah turned around, behold, they were attacked both front and rear. So they cried to the Lord, and the priests blew the trumpets. Then the men of Judah raised a war cry, and when the men of Judah raised the war cry, then it was that God routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. We thank God for his word. Indeed, the word of the Lord is true and blessed forever. Amen. If it be the Lord's will, we're going to focus, praise God, on our series entitled God Gives Victory in the Midst of Defeat. Amen. Indeed, that is our theme and our thesis for this series, of which we have arrived at part 6 here this day. God gives victory in the midst of defeat. Amen. Our sub-theme and thesis for part 6 of this series is coming from the 11th verse, the latter part of the 11th verse, but I will read it all. It says, "And every morning and evening they burn to the Lord, burn offerings and fragrant incense, and the showbread is set on the clean table. This is the portion in which we're coming from. And the golden lampstand with its lamps is ready to light every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. Our sub-theme and thesis is this: God gives victory in the midst of defeat to those who have their light shining for him. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, God gives victory in the midst of defeat to those who have their light shining for him. Amen. Praises be to God. Amen. As we approach this central theme and matriculate to our sub-theme and thesis, God is reminding us that it does not matter what the odds are against you. Some people may not be the biggest or the brightest. They may not be the class valedictorian. They may not be voted most likely to succeed. Matter of fact, they may be voted least likely to do anything. Amen. But God. Praise God. God for you is more than the whole world against you. Amen. Your life plus God is victory. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is. I think about people like Dave, who was the owner of Wendy's. Everything regarding his life said that he would not amount to anything. In fact, that he would just be some statistic who was victimized by all of the circumstances of his life. He was an orphan who was involved in orphanages, one to the other. And as far as his life was concerned, it was looking like it was all going downhill, that it was spiraling out of control. But God. Amen. The long and the short of it is this man became one of the wealthiest businessmen in our nation. Amen. Here in the United States. Owned Wendy's all throughout the country. They've now in different parts of the world, simply because God plus a person's life, praise God, amen, changes their life, amen, alters their trajectory, amen, and changes it from defeat to victory. Amen. Let me preach for a while. Amen. Every one of our eternities, praise God, was already had a trajectory, yes, of being damned to an eternal hell because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. But God plus our lives, praise God, gives us a different trajectory. It didn't matter what the circumstances or the situation was. It's God in our life. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, God, how can you make such a promise? Because God plus your life is victory. God plus your life is victory. And so every single born-again, blood-bought, baptized believer, amen, who has called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Amen. Romans 10:9 puts it this way. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, amen, praise God, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, amen, you shall be saved. The trajectory of your life, amen, has changed. From damnation and defeat, praise God, amen, to victory and to glory, amen, in eternity. Praise Lord. Amen. Good God Almighty. What a blessing. And if I had time to tell you, amen, that victory is not just qualified for eternity, amen, it's qualified for time. Amen. God expects every single blood bought, born again, baptized believer to have prosperity, amen, in their lives. Now, Apostle Giles, what does that look like? Well, it might look like for one person something different than another. Amen. If somebody lives in a village, praise God, where they've got grass huts, amen, Praise God. And and that particular village with the grass huts, you know, maybe before they had God in their life, their hut looked one way. But when God comes into their life, first of all, there's a whole lot of difference that's going on in the hut, and it won't be long before it's reflected outside the hut. Amen, somebody. Now that may result in a new hut for them. Amen, somebody. That may result, praise God, in a better looking hut for them. But I can guarantee you what it will result in, a better life for them. Whatever stresses, whatever strains, whatever struggles that others were experiencing, God will meet their needs according to his riches and glory. May not be a mansion, but God will meet their needs. The prosperity of God will be upon their lives. Physically, psychologically, financially, in every way, because they have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the prosperity and blessing of God is upon their lives as they live out the word of God. Now let me say something there before we progress. That's why, as Christians, we can't abandon Scripture once we get saved.
Amen.
See, the Word of God is not just to save you for eternity, it's to bless you throughout time.
Amen.
And eternity.
Praise God.
Because, see, the saving, the word save means to deliver. It means to set free. It means to grant victory.
Amen. Praise God.
That's what salvation is. Amen. And that is to be expressed in every area of the believer's life.
Amen. Praise God.
Including their relationships.
Amen.
Praise God. Whether it be in their family or in their community or in all of human society.
Amen.
Everything changes.
Amen.
When Jesus comes in.
Amen.
Okay? Everything changes.
Amen.
Yeah, when the believer honors God as Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Now watch this now. As we transition into our foundational passage here of 2 Chronicles 13, Abijah understood what I just shared with you.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Abijah understood that. Well, Pastor, how did you know he understood that? He understood that because this man is literally standing here outnumbered 2-1.
Amen.
And if that wasn't bad enough, here he was just having become king, haven't even fully established himself in the nation of which he is king, hadn't had time. He had just become king in the 18th year of the king who he's going against.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. Who was experienced in warfare, experienced in leadership, experienced in being king. And here he comes, having become king.
Amen.
In the 18th year of Jeroboam's kingship, and yet he stands flat-footed and tells him that what he has doesn't belong to him. Praise God.
Amen.
And that he's going to have to give it back. And not only is he going to have to give it back, praise God,
Amen.
But that even if he is to come against him in warfare, that he will not succeed. Even though he's outnumbered 2-1. By much more experienced leadership.
Yeah.
Good God Almighty. That is beyond confidence. That is called faith in the Lord God Most High.
Amen.
And he tells him that in verse 12 of this 13th chapter, Second Chronicles, that he will not succeed. He tells Jeroboam, you will not succeed. Because Abijah understands that because God is for him, because he is for God, that the war that Jeroboam wages won't be against him and Judah. It'll be against the Lord. He tells him, he says, do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers. He didn't say don't fight against us. He said don't try to fight against Abijah and Judah. He didn't say don't try to defeat Abijah and Judah. He warned him, don't try to defeat the Lord. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And what he was letting him know. See, when we honor God, when we reverence God as God, he was telling him, he pointed out prior to this sixth point, he pointed out in verse 5 that the reason why God was going to fight for them, and because it was God's battle and not his battle, is because in verse 5 they had a covenant with God. He was under the covenant that his grandfather, King David, was under. And so he said, I'm in covenant relationship with God. Don't fight with God. Don't fight with God. Don't fight with God. See, when someone is allied with another, when they attack the one, they attack all. See, when we're in covenant relationship with God, people who think they may be attacking the Christian, they're in effect attacking the Christ.
Amen.
Of the Christian.
You better hear me today.
Come on now.
Wow.
So he said we have a covenant relationship with the Lord. In verse 8, he told him that we are part of the kingdom of the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you won't succeed. Don't try to fight us.
Amen.
Don't try to. You will not fight us. You'll fight the Lord.
Amen.
Because we're in the kingdom where the Lord is king.
He's
king. Can I give a commercial to the Christians in the earth?
Yeah.
Live as part of the kingdom.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. And the only way that a person can live as part of the kingdom of God is that they have first and foremost accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, and they live under his lordship.
Amen. Praise God.
And they have been ushered into, praise God, the Spirit of God through the baptism.
Amen.
God tells us to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And through that baptism, one is baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They've already got the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they pronounce it and lay hands upon the person at the time that they baptize them.
Amen.
Don't need to do it a second time.
Amen.
They've been baptized in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because it has been decreed and declared.
Amen.
In the book of Acts, Peter told the folks the reason why the Christians had received the Holy Spirit is because they had only baptized in the name of Jesus. He said, in other words, if they had baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there'd have been no need to lay hands on them for to receive the Holy Spirit, because they'd already had hands laid on them at the time that they were baptized and the Holy Spirit was pronounced upon them.
Amen.
Good God Almighty.
Amen.
Somewhere along about Acts, the 8th chapter, I believe.
Amen.
But the point is this. They're part of God's kingdom, and that's how we get into the kingdom of God. According to John, the 3rd chapter, he said that we must be born of the water and the Spirit.
Amen.
In order to become a part of the kingdom of God.
Amen,
amen, church.
Amen.
Not only did he warn them because they were in a covenant relationship with God and because they were part of the kingdom. See, you can't come into a king's kingdom and attack his people.
Come on.
Oh, you better hear me.
Yeah.
without attacking the king himself and jeopardizing his kingdom. Bless Jesus today. He also, that was part one was the covenant, because there was a covenant relationship. And by the way, please let me give this qualification. Any one of these would have stood on their own, praise God, as the reason why they would have fought against the Lord and not Abijah and Judah. Amen. Jeroboam and Israel, their fight was against the Lord because Abijah and Judah were in covenant relationship with God, Amen. Were a part of God's kingdom.
Amen.
But all of these together are intertwined, so whether it was either one individually or all of them collectively, they qualified as God's people.
Amen.
Amen. In verse 10, he gives a third reason as to why Jeroboam and Israel would be defeated. He said, because the Lord is their God.
Amen,
Amen somebody.
Amen.
He said, the Lord is their God.
Amen.
In other words, see, listen. If a person says, okay, well, I want to accept Jesus to be saved, they've missed something. The whole purpose of accepting Christ is not just for salvation, but it's to honor him as Lord.
Amen.
To acknowledge him as God.
Amen.
To acknowledge the gift that God gave in love. John 3:16 says it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That whosoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's through accepting him as Lord.
Amen.
So he says in verse 10, but as for us, the Lord is our God.
Amen. Hmm?
So he honored God as Lord. Judah and Abijah did, and therefore he had a right to tell Jeroboam and Israel, you won't win.
Amen.
Because they would have been fighting against the Lord. The fourth reason was the fact that he had the anointed people were doing anointed work for the Lord. Anointed servants of the Lord
Amen.
Were doing the work of the Lord. He says in the other part of that verse 10, the latter part of it, he said, then the sons of Aaron are ministering to the Lord as priests, and the Levites attend to their work.
Right.
Huh? And the fifth reason was because the folk in verse 11, because they were giving unto the Lord.
Amen.
See, someone who honors God as God, giving to the Lord the tithe and the offering reflects one's reverence toward God.
Amen.
And as a result of that, listen to me carefully, honoring God as Lord, then God, praise God,
Amen.
Becomes the one who fights on one's behalf,
Amen.
Who represents that person, because that person is representing God. So for those five reasons we've already covered, that God will give victory in the midst of defeat because those are people that reflect him.
Amen.
Yeah, the anointed servants doing the work of the Lord reflects the people of God.
Amen.
And so are those who reverence God with the tithe and the offering.
Amen.
They identify themselves as the people of God.
Amen.
And of course here today, the sixth reason that Abijah gave Jeroboam and Israel that they would not be able to win if they came against them in warfare is because the light
Amen.
Was shining. Their light
Amen.
Was shining for the Lord.
Amen.
He said, the golden lampstand with its lamps is ready to light every evening, for we keep the charge of the Lord our God. He says, but you have forsaken it. See, he went back. Y'all, but somebody better walk with me. I'm going to have to preach and pray in here today. He went back to the original covenant that was established that God had Moses to arrange for the children of Israel back in Exodus, the 25th chapter.
Amen.
One of the things that God gave Moses to do as a pattern on the mountain, and he gave him explicit instructions, was also to create a golden lampstand praise God, and he gave him meticulous details that was to be lit and placed in the holy place, just beyond the veil of the Holy of Holies.
Whoa, Lord, have mercy.
There was the outer court, there was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the golden lampstand was just beyond the veil, shining the light towards the Lord, so that the people of God and all who look toward the Lord,
oh, y'all better hear me today,
could see the Lord. So what he was telling him is that we are God's light in the earth, so that the people of God can see God. And because we are the light in the earth, established by God, born out of a covenant with God, shining the light on God, you're going to experience defeat if you try to defeat us. Because God gives victory. Please hear me today. In the midst of the feet. To those who have their light shining for him. Abijah was letting him know, our light is shining for the Lord. Our light is shining for the Lord. Turn with me to Exodus 25. I'm not going to have a whole lot of time here, but turn with me to Exodus 25. Bless Jesus today. Bless Jesus today. Exodus, the 25th chapter. And I'm going to have to move quickly here, so y'all going to have to move quickly with me so we can cover what we need to cover today. Long about the 31st verse, God instructed Moses what to do with this lampstand. And I want to take the time to go to this verse because what God instructed him to do is relevant concerning how God sees us. Somebody better hear me today. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Starting in verse 31 of the 25th chapter of Exodus, the scripture says, "Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold." God was telling Moses what to put in the temple, okay,
Amen.
That he had shown him the pattern of
Amen.
On the mountain. He says, "The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work." In other words, be handcrafted.
Amen.
Yes. Its cups, its bulbs and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And six branches shall go out from its sides. Three branches of the lampstand from its one side, and three branches of the lampstand from its other side. Three cups shall be shaped like the almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch, a bulb and a flower.
Amen.
So for six branches going out from the lampstand, and in the lampstand, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. And a bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out from it, and a bulb under the second pair of the branches coming out from it, and a bulb under the third pair of the branches coming out from it. For the six branches coming out of the lampstand, their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then, last verse, you shall make its lamps seven in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it.
Amen.
See, because this golden lampstand, which we know to be the menorah, mm-hmm. was referred to as the menorah by the children of Israel, by Jewish people,
Amen.
Was to have its bulbs facing forward to shed the light from on the veil that was separating it from the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was
Amen.
Between, praise God, the cherubims that was on had their wings covering the mercy seat. God told Moses, "I'm going to speak from you, from the mercy seat, where the two cherubims, good God Almighty, have their wings, are facing each other, have their wings covering the mercy seat, God said, that's where I'm going to speak to you, Moses.
Thank you, Jesus.
From the mercy seat.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you better hear me today.
Woo! Thank you,
Jesus. Oh, Lord. Matter of fact, let's just go on up and reference the verse in verse 22 so you can see it for yourself of the same 25th chapter.
Amen.
After the Lord told him what to do, he says, and there I will meet you, because he had him he gave him instructions regarding the Ark of the Covenant first. The last instruction was this in verse 22 concerning the Ark.
Amen.
He says, and there I will meet you.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. God said, everything I purpose to speak concerning the blessings of my people, I will speak to you, praise God,
Amen.
Above the Ark of the Covenant, praise God, over the mercy seat,
yeah.
Between the cherubim, good God Almighty, that's where I'm going to have my conversation
my
from.
God.
That's where I'm going to pronounce the blessings
yeah.
upon you. Praise God. Somebody better walk with me today. And so this Ark of the Covenant that was just beyond the veil, oh, Lord, have mercy. In the Holy of Holies, had the menorah, the golden lampstand, shining towards, praise God, the veil, shining towards the Ark of the Covenant, shining towards the mercy seat, where the Lord God Almighty represented his presence, had his conversations, pronounced his blessings in the earth upon his people. Christians, can I stop long enough to tell you,
Amen. Come on.
This little light of mine,
yes.
I'm going to let it shine. That's the testimony of every believer, because every Christian, praise God, is the menorah in the earth.
Amen.
I said every believer, every blood bought, born again, baptized, child of God is serving the same purpose that the menorah served. That is, praise God, to shine the light on the Lord God Most High. That's why he told them in Matthew 5. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let them so see your light. Let men. Oh, let's turn there and read what he said. See, somebody going to make me preach. I'm just trying to praise. Walk with me now. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse, and walk with me. We're going to come back to where we are, so just walk with me now. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse, he says, you are the light of the world. Amen. He's telling you who you are. You're showing the way to the things of God.
Right.
You're shining the light on the Lord God Most High.
Yes.
You are the menorah in the earth.
Yes, Lord.
You are nothing cheap, just as the menorah was fashioned from gold with fine details of almond blossoms.
God.
Good God Almighty. Oh, you're going to make
God.
Me pray here today.
My God.
Jesus.
Amen.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
As beings, we are crafted by the word and by the spirit of God.
Amen.
We're made in his image and his likeness.
Amen. God
has purposed, praise God,
hallelujah,
for light to shine out of darkness.
Hallelujah.
Lord, have mercy today.
Wow.
Amen.
We are the menorahs.
Amen.
In the earth.
My.
Yeah, we represent the menorah. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Come on.
Nor do men light a lamp
and
put it under the peck measure.
Come on.
But on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house.
Jesus.
He says, let your light
shine
before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Born again, blood bought,
Amen.
Baptized, believers, Christians,
Amen.
Men and women of God.
Amen.
You are the light.
Amen. Praise God.
Good God.
My God.
Amen.
You guarantee. You are the guarantee that God gets the glory that's due his name. That word glory means the renown, the reputation, that he gets the appearance. His appearance is seen in the earth. You cause the manifest presence of God to be seen by men through your light shining in the earth. Through your light shining in the earth. Turn with me to Leviticus, the 24th chapter. I ain't got time here, y'all. Lord have mercy. Y'all done made me start preaching.
Praise God.
Go to Leviticus, the 24th chapter. Leviticus 24. These were instructions that God told to Moses. I want to drive the visual home to us. The Lord wants us to get a complete visualization of who we are and what he's up to in and through our lives. It says here in chapter 24 of Leviticus, starting at verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel that they bring to you clear oil from beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burn continually." Let me stop right there.
Amen.
It was the oil of anointing that caused the light to shine.
Amen.
Good God Almighty.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost in you,
amen,
is what makes you shine.
Amen.
Oh, you better hear me today.
Hallelujah.
The anointing that God has at work in and upon your life by the Spirit of God is what causes you to shine like the menorah.
Amen.
Verse 3 says it this way. In 24 it says, "Outside the veil of testimony in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord continually."
Amen.
Let me stop right there. The second time we've seen continually.
That's right. Amen.
What God is saying here is that as believers, amen, there ought not ever be a time that our light goes out.
Amen.
See, it's not being a Christian in the daytime and something else at nighttime.
Amen.
It's not being a Christian on Sunday and something else on Monday.
Yes.
It's not being a Christian out in the workplace and something else at home.
Yes. Amen.
Or vice versa.
Amen. Praise God.
The Lord is saying this little light.
Yes, Lord.
Good God.
Amen.
Make sure it shine.
Amen.
Your light.
Amen.
And truth be told, I like that song, "This Little Light of Mine."
Yes.
But ain't nothing little about the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen,
God.
Somebody. I just have to just go on and tell you the truth.
Yes.
There's
Amen.
Nothing little about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing little about it. Yeah, about the Lord God Most High.
Amen.
He says here, "Aaron shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations."
Amen.
So it's not only to shine day and night. It's not only to shine during your lifetime.
Amen.
Oh, you better walk with me.
Amen.
See, God blesses the generations. See, the believer who trusts and honors and obeys God, God will bless that person down through 1,000 generations according to his word. Oh, bless the Lord today. Verse 4 says, "He shall keep the lamps in order on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually." Third time we saw that word continually in just four verses of scripture. Simply said, let your light shine. Let the lamp shine. Because what God is revealing is that in your life, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what kind of circumstance you may find, no matter what the situation. See, Abijah understood, outnumbered 2-1. Experience versus an amateur. Because they had the golden lampstand, because according to the 13th chapter of 2 Chronicles in the 11th verse, he understood that because the lampstand, the light was shining, and that it did not go out according to the covenant charge that God gave Moses, he knew that God was fighting the battle. Because he was in God's kingdom, he had a covenant relationship with God. Because God was Lord of his life. Oh, you better hear me today. And because they gave to the Lord day and night. And because the ministers of the Lord, the servant leaders of the Lord, those who were anointed of God, was doing the work of God. Can I stop long enough to put a pin where I'm going? Don't get in folks' way who's serving the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Amen. Don't get in a struggle or a strain or start a wrangling match. Yeah. Leave folk alone who belong to the Lord, who's working for the Lord, who's laboring for the Lord, because the one that they're fighting with is not the one that they think they're fighting with, but they're fighting with God himself. If they're attempting to come against somebody who's laboring for the Lord, pull the pin out.
Amen.
Pull the pin. God wants us to understand who we are and what he's up to, and that we are his light in the earth. Praise God. Yeah. Turn back to Matthew 5 for a moment, because there's something else that we need to see there. Praise God. As we continue our journey here and move along quickly.
Amen.
When he said in that 16th verse of that 5th chapter, he said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works.
Yes.
Listen to me. That word good there, in effect, reflects excellence.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, somebody. Amen. It reflects excellence. And the word works reflects the moral stature of one's life. It literally means your business.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, you better hear me today.
Amen.
It means the way you handle what reflects your business.
Amen.
Just like if a person was in the hamburger business, then their business would be hamburgers. If they were in the carpentry business, then their business would be carpentry. If they were in the electrician business, their business would be electrician.
Amen.
Lawyer business, their business would be lawyering. And doctoring.
Come on, yeah.
God is saying that as Christians,
yes.
Oh, you better hear me today.
Yes.
Let your business be known.
Amen.
Let there be excellence concerning your business, because your business is him. Our business is the Lord.
Amen.
Let your good works, let your excellent business.
Amen.
That word can also translate employment or occupation.
Amen.
Because we are occupied bringing glory to God.
Yes.
I don't care whether you're a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, or you better walk with me. Listen, what you do among men does not reflect your true identity or occupation.
Amen.
We are servants of the Most High God. We are children of the living God.
Amen. Praise God.
Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
We are his servants.
Yes, we are.
And so no matter what our physical or visible occupation is,
amen,
in the natural, our ultimate occupation, our ultimate employment, our ultimate business is letting our light shine for Christ.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
As Christians.
Amen.
Well, you a homemaker, huh?
Amen.
Or a dressmaker.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
A homemaker or a car maker.
Amen.
Manufacture automobiles. Or whatever. It doesn't matter what you do. Your ultimate employment, your ultimate occupation, your ultimate business as a Christian, a blood-bought, born-again, baptized believer,
yeah. Yeah. Amen.
is bringing glory to God.
Amen.
As a light in the earth. As the menorah. Praise God. In the earth. Bless the name of our God today. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And that reflects our moral conduct and behavior. Somebody better walk with me today. I said that reflects our moral conduct and behavior. Now, our moral conduct and behavior. That's what we're employed with. That's what our occupation is. That's what our business is. Our business is living like, looking like, sounding like, being like Christ. Who is within us. And whose light shines forth from us by the Spirit of God. God gives victory in the midst of defeat. To those who have their lights shining for him.
Amen.
Shining for him.
Amen.
Bless his holy name.
Amen.
Let's transition. Amen.
Amen.
And get just a little deeper here. A little bit more groundwork and bring a little clear picture here.
Amen.
Make it more vivid. Let's go to Philippians, the second chapter. We're not going to be much longer here. Philippians, the second chapter. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, just before Colossians. That's why it's good to know the books of the Bible. See, when you turn to one, it'll reveal to you where the other one is.
Amen.
Because you know the books of the Bible. See?
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
Philippians, the second chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. The scripture reveals this. It says, "For it is God who is at work in you,
yes,
both to will and to work for his good pleasure."
Amen.
Amen. That's as Christians. It's God at work in us. It's the Holy Spirit who shines forth from our lives.
Amen.
That is at work in us, huh?
Amen.
Both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Amen.
Verse 14 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing."
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
"That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach,
yes,
in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world."
Amen.
Good God Almighty. Now, this word "lights" is different from the word "lights" in Matthew. The word in Matthew literally translates as a burning flame and fire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you better hear me today.
Amen.
As a torch.
Amen.
That lights the way.
My God.
That's why I say we're the menorah,
yes,
in the earth. And that fire, just in case you didn't know, is the Holy Ghost.
Holy
Amen,
Ghost.
Somebody.
Amen.
Is
Amen.
The Holy Spirit,
Amen,
in you. Christ in you,
Amen,
is the hope of glory.
Huh?
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So that referred to the word flame of fire. This particular word of lights that's used here, it reflects luminaries. In other words, like the stars.
Amen.
See, God is saying not only like a torch do we shine the way, but we also reflect the luminaries of the sky. For folk who have lost their way, for folks who are in darkness,
yes,
God is saying that as believers, each of us reflect the characteristics of the stars.
Amen.
I don't know if you've ever seen a starlit night, but good God Almighty, it makes a difference.
Amen. Praise God.
As to whether or not folk can see in the darkness.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
God is saying that we're to let our light shine.
Amen.
Last but not least, we want to reference 2 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah, we're to let our light shine from a moral perspective, according to Matthew 5 and Philippians 2.
Yes.
And in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, God is revealing to us that we need to let our light shine from the perspective of ministry. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? From the perspective of ministry. The word minister or ministry out of the Greek literally is reflective of meeting the needs. But God uses a specific component of that here in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning in the 1st verse. He says, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, and he says this to them. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, some translations use the word hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ, Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Paul reflects this biblical truth and this commitment and this conviction from his office in ministry. In verse 1, as he gives this, makes this declaration, this decree and declaration, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, that word out of the Greek is the word diakonia, which refers to an office of divine service.
Amen.
Somebody better hear me today. I'm going to pray with you briefly, and you'll and then we'll close out this time. Every single Christian has a ministry.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit indwells every single believer.
Amen.
From the moment we accept Christ, the Spirit of God takes up residence in our lives. So we have the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has purposed for us to not only live life successfully, but to make the lives of others successful.
Amen.
Through God using us.
Amen.
In our gifts.
Amen.
Okay? But now watch this. The office that Paul speaks of is the God-ordained office of service as an apostle.
Amen.
Everyone may not be an apostle, but anyone who God directs can participate in apostolic work.
Amen. That's right.
Amen, somebody.
That's good.
They may not have the office, but they can do the work. They may not be the apostle, but they can do apostolic work if they're connected with the one who God gave the office to. Amen, somebody. Good God Almighty. But let me make it a little plain. Whatever spiritual gifts and anointing that God has placed upon someone's life, not only because he dwells within, but because they've been baptized with the Spirit of God and they bear the gifts of God in their lives.
Amen.
The gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
then use those gifts from your leadership position.
Amen.
Because every single Christian is a leader. If we don't occupy no other office in the earth,
Amen.
We occupy the office of servant leaders.
Amen.
Because in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, God commissioned every born-again, blood-bought, baptized believer
Amen.
To go and make disciples of all nations,
Amen.
Teaching them what he has taught us.
And
baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Praise God.
So every Christian has not only the task of allowing their light to shine for the glory of God as it relates to people coming to a saving knowledge of Christ,
Amen.
But God has given each and every one of us a leadership position, if you will, an office as a servant leader, i.e. Christian, to make other disciples, to make other Christians who then has the capacity after having been taught and baptized in the Spirit themselves to make other Christians as well.
Amen.
Good God.
That's right. That's it.
It's about discipleship.
Amen.
God gives victory in the midst of defeat to those who have their lights shining for him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus the Christ,
yes.
Amen.